Well, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Titus with me this morning, Titus chapter 2, we'll continue our study through the book of Titus. And we finished up chapter 1 in our last message, and then we will continue beginning with chapter 2. I want to thank all of you for praying for my trip, and thank you for praying for the Bachmans and the Bachman family. And I know they appreciate it. They expressed that several times, how much they just appreciate the love that's been outpoured from the church here and from people all over. But the trip was a good trip, a safe trip. And then the services yesterday, the funeral services there in Michigan, I believe were very honoring to the Lord. I believe God's Spirit was working there, and there were just several testimonies. And just it was an obvious outpouring of God's grace upon the hearts of each of the loved ones there and the friends and family. Thank you for praying for them. The Bachmans should be returning here soon in the next day or two. So I know that they would appreciate your prayers. And thank God for what he's doing in a tragic situation as that. Becky's father spoke at the service. There were several speakers, and he was one of them, and he truly did exhibit God's grace as he got up and testified of his trust in a sovereign God, and trusting that though he does not understand why the accident happened, the car accident happened, he doesn't understand that, but he said it's not his place to understand. And he says he trusts in an all-loving, all-knowing, all-wise, wonderfully good God that he serves. He believes in him. And so it was, again, just a time that truly honored Christ. And thank God for the fruit that will come of that. Well, we'll be there in Titus chapter 2. I'll just be reading the very first verse. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Let's pray together. Father, we are coming before you and asking you to be glorified in this service. You are worthy. You are holy and above all. Lord God, you are the reason we breathe. You are the reason we have life. You are the reason, Father, that we can be here today to worship this morning. Because of your love, oh God, because of your care, because of your mercy. Lord, into this morning, Lord, would you guide us through the scriptures, this verse right here that is packed, Lord, with your truth. Please, God, make a difference in my heart this morning, in the hearts that are present. Lord, meet needs that only you can meet. And Father, we'll be careful, very careful, to give you all the glory that is due unto your name and your name alone. I do pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, Titus chapter 2, we see the first word here is very indicative that it is going to be giving a contrary thought to what has been spoken of beforehand. And that's exactly what the case is here. As Paul is writing to this young pastor, Titus, he has just previously given a description of false teachers. Those that were filled with lust, they were filled with deceit, and they had one goal and one goal only, to fulfill their selfish desires. And they were preying on believers, and Paul was telling Titus, brother, you have got to put a stop to this nonsense. And as he gave that description, as we have been reading together, and I preached a message last time, verses 10 through 16, he's going to give the contrary. I like what Adam Clark said about this first part of this verse. Adam Clark said the following. This is a conclusion drawn from the preceding chapter. The Judaizing teachers not only taught a false doctrine, but they led an unholy life. Titus was to act directly opposite. He was to teach a sacred doctrine. and the things which become it. He must proclaim the truth and illustrate that truth. The people must not only be well instructed, but they must be holy in their lives. Principle and practice must go hand in hand. Adam Clark. You know, that is exactly what Paul is telling Titus here. Teach the people the truth, but teach that just as important as the doctrine is, just as important is the life that matches the doctrine. Walking in truth. When I was a missionary in Niger, West Africa, my wife and I served there nearly 3 years. The Lord gave us that privilege and opportunity. Wouldn't trade it for the world. Thank God for what He did in our lives and the lives of others. But during that time, one of the young men that we were able to impact with the gospel, you remember him by the name of Paul. I trust you'll continue praying for Paul. He was one that came to know the Lord while we were there that I spent a lot of time discipling and encouraging. I've talked to him within the past few weeks. He seems to be doing well, but he has a lot of battles on his hand. He is in basically a 99% environment of Islam. 99% of the people there would at least adhere to the tenets of Islam in some way. And that's what he's battling on a daily basis. And I remember sitting down with a lot of you and talking with him and just simply just trying to encourage him in his walk with the Lord. It was something that I shared with him. And one of the things that really took, I guess, preeminence in that conversation was this. That, brother, you're going to have to be different. You're going to have to be totally different in the way you live and what you teach in this place. And folks, that's exactly what is going on right here. Titus is on the island of Crete, and what he is going to be teaching and preaching and practicing is totally contrary to the majority of people on this island. Paul is saying you're going to have to be contrary. You're going to have to live differently. And I pray for Paul there in the Niger, and I hope you do too, because that's what's going to have to happen. This false doctrine that's being spread across much of our globe, much of the world, one of the fastest growing religions in the world is indeed Islam. And it is a doctrine that is contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what we have here is something not too much different. Judaizers teaching a works-based salvation, that grace is not sufficient. And it depends on the commandments of men and fables and these fairy tale-like stories that you had to adhere to and take as the gospel truth. And Paul say, no, no, no. That, my friends, is false doctrine. And Titus is going to have to deal with it. This pastor's instruction to a pastor of how he must confront this. I'm just going for today. The Lord is leading me just to go to each of the words in this verse for us to take a closer look at to understand the meaning behind what Paul is saying here to Titus and what the Word of God is teaching us. Look with me at the first word in our verse. That is the word but. A contrary word that is going to give a contrary thought as opposed to what was before. Look there. It's a contrary. What he's saying is, Titus, you've heard the description of the liars. You've heard the description of the false teachers. You've heard how these people are acting, but you must be different. And he's saying here, That you're going to have to teach totally different than the way they have been and these seductive liars teaching false doctrine. You're going to have to be contrary to them. You know, many times, church, the only way to make a difference, now this is deep, is to be different. The only time to make a true difference is to be different. To stand out. And we're going to see how Paul will clearly indicate that. You know, he's saying, Titus, you must live and speak in such a way that's contrary to these phonies, the fakes. Titus, you're going to stand out among the lazy, lying, lust-indulging gluttons that thrive on a self-centered life. You're going to have to stand out. You know, I believe that is something that we can do as believers. You say, I may not have a lot of gifts. I don't feel like I can do a lot for the Lord. Can I tell you something I know without a doubt that you can do? Is you can be different. You don't have to go with the mainstream of our culture. You can stand out as a firm, strong believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and make no apologies about it. You know, that is exactly what he's trying to encourage this brother to do. I'm sure it was intimidating. And then, by the way, it's intimidating for us many of the times, especially when there's peer pressure. Maybe there's pressure at school, work, even in churches. There's pressures in our community that try to get us to go with the flow and go with what's a fad at the time, what's cool, what's accepted. All those things were pushed in that direction. And what God is saying, God's people are going to have to stand and be different. Because that indeed will make a difference. You know, talking about things that make a difference, several years ago, New York Times reported that CVS, the country's largest drugstore, they said they will no longer fit in with society. But rather, they will stand out, the article goes on to say. The company announced that as they move towards becoming more of a health care provider, that it would stop selling cigarettes and other tobacco products by the October of that year. The company estimates it will lose, now get this, $2 billion in sales from customers who buy tobacco products and other things like gum. What makes you stand out from the rest? Look, you think of a company like CVS and they made that stand that, look, we're going to do this. Why did they do that? Well, I think what the article is saying is basically they just wanted to be consistent. They feel like they're going to be providing health care and trying to encourage a healthy life. We're not going to try to support a habit of that manner that's going to hurt and harm people. Now, if you're here and you smoke cigarettes, I'm not downing you. I hope the Lord will give you grace to overcome that habit, that addiction. But what I am saying here is very simply that this company made a big step here. They made a big step to be different. They went against the grain. Yes, they could make more money. Yes, they could fit in a little better. But because we want to be consistent, and my friends, that's what God is looking for in His children. Some people that will just simply say, look, yes, this is going to cost me maybe some friends. It might even cost me a job. It might even cost me a little bit of embarrassment. It might cost me a little bit of humility down the road. But by God's grace, I'm going to be different. I'm going to let God's grace control my life. And I may have to go against the grain. I may have to go against the current. But oh, we must be contrary to false doctrine and false teaching. And by the way, can I say this? I'll clarify here in a minute. We must understand the Word of God when we talk about false doctrine. Doctrine is just not just talking about the deep things of the Bible. Certain subjects is doctrine. No. Do you know what doctrine is? I'm getting ahead of myself. Doctrine is simply teaching. It's the teaching of this book. When we talk about doctrine, that word simply means the teaching of the Word of God. And we need to make sure that we give great attention to the teaching of the Word of God. Let's look at the next word there. He says, but what? Speak. Now, this is not just any kind of speaking. This is a speak that speaks of speaking unreservedly, without any reserves. Speak, Titus, because before, you remember what he told them. What did he tell them? Remember in our last message, you see there in verse 11, he said, you speak, but you stop the mouths of these others, these false teachers that are deceiving people. You muzzle them and you give the truth of the Word of God. And you know, that's something we can too do. Is that we can speak. We must speak the truth. If you don't speak up and speak out, many will fall victim to these wolves. You know, may God grant us the grace, church, to be able to stand in the right spirit. Now, there's one thing that will, I believe, hinder you trying to give truth to people, and that's giving truth with an evil spirit, with a just an unkind spirit. We can give the truth in love. We can give truth boldly. We certainly can. But we are commanded to give it in love, and we are commanded to give it accurately. And I believe here that he's telling this young man, you're going to have to speak out against what's going on in this church. Speak it. Give them the truth. It also carries the idea of fearlessly. Don't fear their faces. Don't fear their mocking. Don't fear their false accusations, because boy, they were. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Boy, there's a ton of people against Paul. They hated Paul. Oh, Paul's out for your money. Paul's doing this and that. He's a liar. Look, there are all kinds of accusations going against the Apostle Paul. But Paul says, don't be afraid of that mess. Let people say what they want. If you stick to the truth of God, you will always come out on the right side. Amen? My friends, I don't know, maybe somebody's made a false accusation against you. Hey, listen, let me tell you, you stand on truth. You stand on truth and you adhere to the Word of God and you speak truth. No matter what they say, the truth will stand alone. God just wants us to speak it. It stands alone. You know, Jeremiah in the Old Testament, boy, you talk about a crowd he had to minister to. Ooh-wee. This man was called to people that hated what he had to say. You talking about some scouring faces? Not only that, but boy, he's ready to fight, ready to kill that man. I'm so glad y'all are much more gentle than that. Hadn't got any of those looks. I appreciate it. But Jeremiah, listen to what the Lord told Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And my friends, listen up, teenager, adult alike, when you speak the truth of God, you don't have to make any apologies. God's word stands alone. But get this, he does need a voice. God has chosen that. Even in his sovereignty and in his omnipotence, he's all powerful, but he has chosen to limit himself in this realm. He's provided the word that stands alone. I don't need to do anything to add to the word of God or take away. It stands on its own. But he does need voices to speak the truth. Whether it be to a false teacher or whether it even be to a brother or sister, God wants us to be able to speak the truth of God's word. As a pastor, if I do not speak the truth of you, to you, sometimes you may not like it. Sometimes it may not feel good. But I have to speak truth. You have to speak truth. We as God's people have to speak truth. Not afraid to speak up. This illustration is fitting. Imagine picking your car up from the shop after a routine tune-up. And the technician says, this car is in great shape. Clearly, you have an automotive genius to take care of your car. Later that day, brakes don't work. You find out you were out of brake fluid. You could have died. You go back to the shop and you say, why didn't you tell me? The technician replies, well, I didn't want you to feel bad. Plus, to be honest, I was afraid you might get upset with me. He goes on to say here, I want this to be a safe place, the mechanic said. I want this to be a safe place where you feel loved and respected. You'd be furious, wouldn't you? What? I almost died. Safe place. I expected you to tell me the truth of what was wrong with my car. You see, the technician you would say that was crazy. No, I want him to tell me what is going on, the truth. And that's exactly what we have to do with God's Word. It is always best to give God's Word the truth, no matter what the situation is. Give the truth, but give it in love. Give it in the power of the Spirit of God, not in the flesh. Many times what Christians get messed up on, this is where they get all messed up. And it ends up doing more damage than good. They give truth, but they give it with a grudging spirit. A fleshly spirit. And the Lord wants us to do it in the power of the Spirit. You know, same type of illustration here. Imagine going to the doctor. Imagine going to the doctor's office for a checkup. And the doctor says, you are in magnificent health. In fact, you are a magnificent physical specimen. That sounds like my last checkup. Just kidding. You have the body of an Olympian. You are to be congratulated. Now, later that day, while climbing the stairs, you start having heart problems. Start having heart troubles. And you find out later your arteries were so clogged that you were like one jelly donut away from the Grim Reaper. You go back to the doctor and say, why didn't you tell me? The doctor says, well, I knew your body is in worse shape than a Pillsbury Doughboy, but if I tell people stuff like that, they get kind of offended. It's kind of bad for business. They don't come back, the doctor said. I want this to be a safe place where you feel loved and accepted. You'd be furious. You'd say to the doctor, when it comes to my body, I want the truth. Listen, church, friends, we have been given a God-given responsibility to always give the truth. This church has been given a responsibility to always give the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. Yes, it does. But I tell you, we have that responsibility. And a lot of times we just either cover our eyes or cover our ears, or we're afraid or whatnot. No, we need to speak. We need to speak the truth of God's Word. Look at the next word here, moving along quickly. We see that he says, but speak thou. Look at the word thou. That simply is you. Again, like the title that I gave the message, but as for you. Maybe you've heard that before. I remember hearing my parents, you know, sometimes you sit down and talk and I'd be like, well, so-and-so does it. So-and-so are going. Why can't I? So-and-so's doing this and that, you know. Of course, I'd give every reason in the world why I should be going and doing it too, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, the parent would say, look, mom or dad, look, so-and-so can do this, and so-and-so can do that. But as for you, you're not going to do it. That's what Paul is saying here. Listen, that crowd's going to teach false doctrine. That crowd's going to mess people up. But as for you, Titus, you're going to go and give them the truth. You're going to go and give them the Word of God. As for you, you know what that word thou means? It simply means taking ownership. It's responsible for speaking up. Titus, I'm not looking to anybody else but you. You're going to be the one to speak up. And church, I'm afraid, and I've been guilty of this, many times we miss what God's wanting us to do because we refuse to speak up about something. Why? Because we're waiting on the next person to say something. Well, so-and-so will say something, or maybe that person, or maybe one day, when all reality, you just might be the one that God says, no, you speak the truth. Give them the truth. And that is what he's saying here. Don't wait on so-and-so to do it. Take ownership. John Coleman wrote an article. I have no idea who John Coleman is, but he wrote an article for Harvard Business Review, titled this, Take Ownership of Your Actions by Taking Responsibility. Totally secular article. No spiritual teaching in this article that was on purpose. But I found that there's teaching for us to apply to our lives. Listen to the quote. One of the most common momentum killers I've seen in my professional life is our propensity to wait for someone else to act, take initiative, assume blame, or take charge. But very often, no help comes. You know, folks, we got to make application of that spiritually. Many times we're waiting. We're waiting for what? We're waiting for someone to act, someone else to take the initiative, someone else to assume blame. When in all reality, we need to be honest and speak up. And God will bless that because we take ownership. Not going to wait on the pastor. Hey, listen, there are many things as pastor of this church, can I just go ahead and say this? There's many things I don't see or know of. And that's okay. That's okay. But I tell you what, there's some believers in here, you know things that I don't know and maybe will not know. You know what you can do? You can go to those situations and speak truth to them and exhort them, perhaps rebuke them, and perhaps save a life from devastation. My friends, we are called to speak the truth. You have the responsibility. If you know of a situation, go. Take ownership. And then you notice this next word, it says the things. It says, but speak thou the things. Well, what are the things? Those are the things that we'll preach in another message. He's going to talk about in the rest of the chapter. He's going to give instruction for older men, for older ladies, sisters in Christ, for young women, for young men. He's going to give specific instruction. But he's talking about here, when he says these things, he's going to give details about that. But what does he say about these things? Now, this is important. Because in churches today, a lot of churches, not all churches, but a lot of churches, you're getting into man's opinion. You get into the commandments of men. And what it does is it is not fitting like the next word means. Look there. It says, but speak the things which what? What about the things which become? Now, that phrase right there, which become, carries the idea of being fitting, or can I say this, attractive. Again, going back to being different and standing out, it goes along with the theme of the message, doesn't it? It simply means to be conspicuous. To stand out above others and to be attractive. And we'll notice more as we study the book of Titus that we're going to talk about how the gospel is to be attractive to the lost world. Now, when I say attractive, I don't mean that we have to go to sinful measures to make it attractive. We don't have to be like the world to make it attractive. Hey, listen, do you ever think that the gospel that God has given ever intended for the world to help him? No. God's gospel is pure and lovely and totally sufficient in itself. It doesn't need to be prettied up. Okay? It doesn't need to be anything taken away from it. It is totally sufficient. And that's what he's saying here. Listen, I'm going to ask you to, he said, I'm going to tell you to speak the things which are fitting. And we're going to see how they become fitting. But Thayer's Greek English lexicon says this, again, to stand out. To be obvious. Stands out very clearly and easy to be understood. You know, some of these false teachers, man, they were going into all kinds of foolishness. We could go look at other passages. They were getting in all the genealogies and you had to know this and that. And they were Gnostics and you had to reach a certain level of intellect and this and that. Man, it was just getting crazy. All these things you had to do. And Paul's saying, Titus, you're going to have to let them know that, look, the gospel is attractive in itself. And we don't need to go and try to change it up, pretty it up, add anything to it. No, it is attractive. Just preach the truth. And I trust that you will pray for me, that I'll remain as a pastor of this church, that I'll always, by God's grace, to preach the truth. The whole counsel of God. Paul gave that testimony. And he, as he told there to the church in Ephesus, he said, look, I have not withheld, restrained from you the whole counsel of God. He's saying, look, you need to preach the Word of God and give it. And I have found in my life that there are some people that may scorn that. Hey, if they're born again and God's dealing with them, people are attracted to truth. And you try to tiptoe around stuff and coddle people and as itching ears, Timothy says, we're not have time to look at it. But that crowd right there is just looking for only what they want. But if you just get the truth of God's Word, the whole counsel, preach the negative and the positive. Preach it all together. It's a wonderful balance. Thank God for His Word that truly is. The message that Titus was to preach was to be one that needed to attract, to be attractive above all others. Now that brings a wonderful question to our service this morning. How do we make the gospel attractive? Well, like I just said a moment ago, we don't need to add anything to it. We certainly don't need to take anything away. So how? Well, it's one way simple. You let it do its job in your heart. Listen, folks, I think you all would agree with me this morning that the greatest testimony to the grace of God is a changed life. A changed heart. That there's no better testimony to the grace of God. And that is what how we can make the gospel fitting and attractive. One of the main ways, I believe, is a changed life. Hey, listen, do you agree with me that grace changes things? Oh, yes, it does. It changes the person on the day of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace changed me that time back in 2002. It changed me, but you know what I have found out since being saved? Not only did it change me by saving me, but it changes me every day as I yield to it. Grace is constantly changing God's children. I'm so thankful for grace. We sung of grace earlier, and I'm so grateful that every day that we can just marvel in the grace of Almighty God. That when I do mess up and when I do fall, boy, I can remember God's grace gives forgiveness to sin. It gets me where I need to be going. Oh, it helps me, my friend. Many say grace gives freedom to sin. I totally disagree. Grace does not give freedom to sin, but grace most certainly does not. I should say this, as Paul said in Romans, shall I sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Can I say it like this? Grace does not give freedom to sin, but it gives freedom to overcome sin. Grace forgives and overpowers sin. Listen, I want to tell you, how do we make the gospel fitting and attractive? We allow it to change us who we are every day. Dads, do your children see in your home what the grace of God is doing in your life? Moms, does your family see what God's grace is doing to you? How it's changing you daily, more and more into the image of Christ? Children, teens, young people, you claim Christ as your Savior. Are you showing evidence that God's grace is molding you and working in you? That makes the gospel attractive. You talk about people out in the world that are without Christ, when they see a life, hey, they can argue with you about doctrine all they want. And they will. Many people will. But one thing I was told once, and I believe it, one thing the lost person cannot argue with, my friend, is a changed life. You can tell me all day long you don't believe the gospel, but you can't tell me back in 2002 when I put my faith in the gospel that it absolutely changed my thinking. I have a long way to go. I'm still growing every day. Won't be perfect, but I know one thing. My whole thinking changed when I got the gospel. It changed my life. And that is a testimony. What that word means there when it says, which become. You know, we use that word sometimes. Maybe you don't. But that, boy, that, if I were to tell my wife, boy, honey, that dress is very becoming of you. That's something that, what do you say? It's attractive. It's something that draws me to it. And God wants us to have the gospel in such a way that it draws. What about you? What about me? Do we live a life that shows of the grace of God? We see here not only a changed life, but then I would like to share this with you. And again, what he's teaching here is, I believe, a pure practical message. Keep it simple. the simplicity of the gospel. Aren't you thankful for the simplicity of the gospel? I tell people often, I do not like formulas, numbers, or anything like that. I was a terror to my pre-algebra teacher. You notice I said pre-algebra. I didn't get to algebra. I think I might have got to geometry, and then some class they made up for people that couldn't do algebra. I don't like numbers and formulas. That stuff was confusing to me. Aren't you glad God has not made the gospel confusing? It's easy to grasp. Life that is changed by the gospel. It's wonderful. But moving right along here, we see the next word. And that is sound. But speak thou the things which become, that are fitting, that are attractive to what? Sound doctrine. That word sound there simply means wholesome, healthy, the real deal, not fluff. Now, I was introduced to a dish just recently called, believe it or not, fluff. Has anybody here eaten fluff before? Okay. All right, well, I don't even know what it was made of. I think it was made of mainly marshmallows, right, honey? Was that correct? It's kind of green too, maybe put food coloring in there, I don't know, but it's got fruit in it, and it's really good, but the lady asked me, it's my cousin, she's like, Brinson, would you like some fluff? I'm like, well, maybe, what is it? So it was pretty good, but boy, it did not have any sustenance. Nothing to it. Real light, just like it said, fluff. You know, it didn't help my hunger whatsoever. But it was good. It didn't help my hunger. It was good. But that's the idea. Paul's saying, hey, Titus, you're going to have to do better than fluff. That other crowd with all their little commandments of men and all that stuff, that's all fluff. But what I want you to give those people on the island of Crete is the real deal word of God. The pure doctrine. The sound and healthy doctrine of the word of God. Preach it. Teach it with all long suffering. Rebuke, reproof, exhort. Give it to them, Titus, just like he would tell Timothy. That word sound is used in the pastoral epistles. And that is my responsibility as a pastor, to give you sound doctrine, not just my opinions. Now, I may have an opinion every once in a while. That's true. But the majority of what I bring from this sacred desk, the pulpit, and what I teach and preach to you, and what you teach in the classrooms here at this church, should be sound doctrine, not our opinions, not things that we have thought up and commandments of men or adding things that ought not be. No, nothing man-made here. It's solid from the Word of God, and again, it's sufficient. I think of fluff. I also think of those cream puffs. Some of my favorite. Anybody love cream puffs as much as I do? Now, you see them in the grocery store. Some grocers don't have them, but they're just like the little croissant, the rolls, and they got the white cream in them. Oh, y'all, please don't go buy me any of those. I do not need them, okay? Last time I said I liked Oreos, there was like 40 packs of Oreos in my office. I appreciate it. That's very thoughtful, y'all. But honestly, you know what that stuff is? It's fluff. There's no sustenance to it. You know, you need some sustenance. You need the milk and the meat of the Word of God together. Yes, you need both balanced, and you need to be able to feed on the Word of God, not just here at church, but in your homes. We need sound doctrine constantly, and the Lord wants us to have that, no doubt about it. Because if you start getting into the fluff, it causes major problems. I've been in the churches that harp on opinions, and what it does, it hinders the work of God. Listen, we need to give sound, healthy doctrine. And again, I'm not going to spend much time on it, but that then our last word, and we're going to close here. Look, the last word there, doctrine. What is that? That is the teaching of the Word of God. It's instruction. That's what God wants us to have. It's nothing. There's nothing deep and secretive about that word doctrine. Sometimes I feel like that scares people. Folks, it's just the Word of God. It's God's teaching. That's doctrine. And it will affect us, and it will help us, and it will strengthen us, and it will empower us as we feed on the sound doctrine of the Word of God. It will make a difference in people's lives. You know, Paul, as I mentioned earlier, I meant to give you the reference in Acts chapter 20, verse 27. He said the word, he said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." That's another way a pastor gets in trouble. Well, a pastor can get his little pet peeves and his little pet subjects. That's all you hear about it. You're going to the church, that's what you hear. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. It's the same little topics that he likes to pull out and attack. And listen, that is not correct. That is wrong. That gives an imbalance and it hinders and handicaps the church. The man of God should give the whole counsel of God. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, teach what the book says and let it fall where it wills and let the people of God respond to it. And the same goes for you. Don't worry about what people are going to think. If you need to share the truth with them and God is calling you to do that, give them the truth. God will bless you for it and He will bless them, especially if they receive it. You know, in closing here, let's be honest. Nobody wants to be different in many times, in many ways. Why? Let's be honest. Let's just be honest here together. Why don't we want to be different? One of the ways, and this is for all of us, and if you're removed from this, okay, well, congratulations. But one of the things that we don't want to be different is because why? We want people to like us. We want people to like us. So many times we refuse from living the truth and giving the truth because we just want to do it for letting them like us. But my friends, that will always, mark my words please, that will always lead to false doctrine. And then that will lead to a false living. No, my friends, we are to give them the Word of God. We have to be different. What's another reason? The safest way to do that is to blend in. Well, in order to keep from being different, I can just sort of blend in. I can be like them. But can I say this? By following Christ, it has never, ever, ever been about blending in. Please mark that down, all of us. Following Jesus Christ has never, ever been about blending in. It is about being different. How? By the grace of God. What He's done in our lives. How He has set us apart. What He has done for us. Following Him means to be like Him. To respond to life and relate to people the way Jesus Christ would. That's being different. And yes, Jesus Christ reached out to everyone. But He always, always spoke sound doctrine. Let's pray. Father, I am grateful for the Word of God. Lord, help us as a church. Lord, please help me as a pastor to speak the things which are becoming sound doctrine. I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Lord, would you help them to speak truth, to share truth. But just as importantly, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would live truth, that they would live as trophies of the marvelous grace of, Lord, you. The grace of God. Lord, we need this. I need this. And Lord, I pray for perhaps someone here this morning, whether it be a member or a guest. Lord, I pray that if they have never experienced your saving grace, perhaps they've never experienced that. They don't know where they're going when they die. They live in fear. Lord, would you help them this morning to realize that they can experience the grace of God by simply them putting their faith in you? Would you help them with that, Lord? Would you open their hearts and their minds to the truth of your love and your forgiveness but that they must come to you with their sin just like they are. Would you help them with that, Father? Even this morning, perhaps, someone needs to make that decision. Would you give them the courage to perhaps do it right there in their seat where they're sitting? And perhaps to come forward to get counsel from someone that will take the Bible. Lord, would you help them? Father, I'm praying that you would just help us all as believers to take heed to what we've heard this morning. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask a simple question. You say, Pastor, I'm here this morning and I don't think I've ever truly begun a relationship with Christ. I've known about Christ. I've heard about Him. I've been in church. But I don't believe I've ever really begun an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. If that is you this morning, I'm not going to call you out and embarrass you, but I will pray for you. I promise I will pray for you. Would you just show me, you say, I'm not sure if I've ever done that, Pastor, but would you pray for me? Would you lift up your hand high enough so I can see it? God bless you, ma'am. You can put it down. Thank you for your honesty. Anybody else saying, I'm not sure if I have ever begun a true relationship with Jesus Christ? Anybody else like that? Say, just pray for me, Pastor. I'm not sure if I've truly ever done that. Anybody else? All right, believers, let me ask you a question. Are you living a testimony of God's amazing grace? You are one of the best testimonies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps there needs to be some decisions made this morning because you have not been living in such a way that stands out and makes the gospel attractive. Father, thank you for these folks that have been honest this morning. And I pray for this one also, Lord, that raised their hand about not sure if they've ever begun this relationship. I pray you'd help them, help me, and help our church to reach out in any way we can. And Lord, I just pray that you would make this sure in their hearts. And Lord, in their heart, and make sure, Lord, our people, that your people, God's people, Lord, I pray for them now that they would understand the importance of living the grace of God. I pray this in Jesus' precious holy name.